Good evening, everyone. Okay, welcome to the second open mic for the month of September. My name is Chijoke. I'm the host of this second open mic. I'm a writer, a filmmaker, and an entrepreneur. Quite a full list, so we should probably get into it at this point. The first performer for the night is Rosemary Monier. She's playing the piano, right? Or the violin, or both. Okay, awesome. And the title is Nare Kele. Amazing. Thank you, Rosemary. That's a musical protege right there, right? I don't know if the audience is seasoned enough to critique her rendition of Canon in D. Okay, so we'll move on to the next person. Emma Monier has a poem, right? A poem titled Enough of Milking the Cow. All right.
Good evening, all. Yeah, this is titled Enough of Milking the Cow. We won't bend and we won't bow. The time for change is right now. This change must come no matter how. If need be, let there be a row. Later we wipe the sweat off our brow. But we say enough of milking the cow. They have milked the cow so dry, there is nothing left anymore to try, save but for us all to cry, our faces somber and wry. How long should we sit like lame dogs while they make away with our mega box? How long should we complain the country sucks and blame this misfortune on some bad luck? Is it not time we the people struck? Throw at these looters the mock. Shove them into the Black Maria truck, straight to Kirikiri prison. Throw away the lock. Perhaps they may learn a lesson about life's hard knocks. But we won't give up the fight. We'll continue to fight for our rights. From this cake, we must take a bite, hoping at the end of the tunnel, there will be light.
Thoughts on the piece, comments, if any, reactions, how did it make anyone feel? No? You're not spurred to action? Yes?
It sounded very much like Dr. Seuss to me, like how poignant was that. Was it?
Okay. Any other? Try to project your voice up because there's
more. Apart from what he noted about the lock, I think the fact that he could keep the poem of that length with those rhyme patterns, and not make it sound, let's say, somehow, was actually very commendable. Shows that he put a lot into it, and for the fact that the poem still sounded like normal, like you see it also, like it just seems like plain English actually, and then we see it's delivered and he kept those rhymes. That's very commendable.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that piece? No? Okay, let's give it up to Mike. Okay. The next performer is B. James. They have a poem titled The Boss.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. I actually changed it from The Boss, so I'll be reading Art and Imitation. Right from the displacement from the Garden of Eden, life on Earth has become one of imitation, one of which is the pillow. Pillows must have been made by a man in lack and in need of comfort, who tried to replicate his softness, who tried to replicate the softness of the bosom of a woman by trying to squeeze a woman's breast in an enclosure of light fabric, trying to mold the woman's bosom using feathers, foams, and whatnots. The woman's bosom, unlike the pillow, was beautifully designed to bring comfort, like the heavy rain falling at dusk, drawing the curtains on a scorching day, like sweet showers of raindrops, heralding the soft feel of the rising sun at dawn. There is no greater feeling or better way for a man to overcome insomnia than the comfort he derives in placing his head on the bosom of the woman. Thank you.
Sorry, I would just like to reiterate, while he was performing, there was an awful amount of noise coming from the back. I'm sure a lot of people were distracted by it. I for sure was. So please, I'll implore members of the audience to try your best to just keep quiet while people are performing or while someone else is speaking so that we can hear ourselves out. That is the essence of why we're here. It's part of our culture here at ALS, for those who don't know. Okay, so, yes, sir. You thought it was too short for. Okay. Any other reactions to that piece? Okay. All right. Let's give it up for B James. All right. Olanade John has a poem titled "We Quit Living."
We quit living, and in this constant fear of you, we sentenced ourselves to this unwanted fate. In fear of you, we quit living. We were barely awakened in our youth when our paths crossed. To us, you were nothing more than a somewhat unwanted guy who showed up visiting at the weather house on the day. How could we have known any better? Afterwards, news of your tale went viral like wildfire, and the tabloids were awash of your short, unwelcome visits in people's homes. I couldn't get most of the details. All we knew was that your hosts weren't very delighted to see you, not in the least, in fact, and it showed in the teary eyes and mob faces because it seemed the only entertainment you required was the taking of a loved one. Sadly, nothing seemed capable to bring you to book. You were the only criminal on world's wanted list that no one would apprehend. News of you soon died, and we thought that'd be the last time we had heard of your tale. But you showed up again at our friend's door at yet another rude hour, and that was the last time we stirred our mom's dish. The reality of your existence soon dawned heavily when you painfully paid another unexpected visit to a dear friend in our prime. Soon enough, we reckoned your visits, in quotes, were really more than that of a visitor. You were an inevitable fate, a scoundrel destined to take away our warmth and joy, the bliss in our happiness. Our birthdays became funerals, melodies became a dirge, our glow turned to gloom. You became no respecter of youth, a meddlesome interloper, a painful intruder, and a pernicious reminder of our human condition. We began to dread you with each passing second, and our fear of you reached its height the day you came to take Granny away. Ever since, our nights were nothing short of naps of misery in fear that you'd come next knocking on our door. In this constant fear of you, we sentenced ourselves to this unwanted fate, even before you came knocking. In fear of you, we quit living. Thank you very much.
subject is death. And he kind of like painted stories around it, images around it, then the, what's the word again? Like when you attribute the attributes of the living thing to the non-living thing. Yeah, that the healing world and the Buddhist thing.
So I like how he personified the death as the last speaker said, and he made it like a person. Truly, death is like a visible, and you don't know when they're coming. So it's much painted reality in a very solid way. So you could feel his emotions. The words were very strong, right? So you could feel the depths of what he was trying to describe. So it's a very beautiful piece, and I like how he executed it.
And he categorized it as a prose piece. So did it come across that way?
I think it's prose poetry.
Narrative poetry.
I enjoy this suspense. It was not quite easy to tell that he was talking about death, because he goes to the kingdom and so I think he enjoyed that part.
First of all, probably to me, but it was quite easy to tell he was talking about death. But it was a nice piece overall, but my only complaint with his diction, his pronunciation was quite terrible. I couldn't hear some words, so it was a bit muffled.
Okay.
It's my point of view,
yes.
So it's quite muffled, and that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, sorry.
Okay, so I honestly was going to say that it doesn't really work very well as a poem, that it would have worked better as a
story. It was a prose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So until you said that, then it made much more sense.
Right.
So it's, maybe you should like be telling the category before the person gives, so as to know what to expect.
Yeah. Well, but did it come across as poetry or prose to you?
I felt it was more prose than poetry.
I see. Okay. All right. Yes.
Okay, so I just asked that it felt like the piece was about to
Or anyone else. Well, now that you mention this, I guess me too. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's very intelligent, actually. Yeah. Well, he can't tell us. Sadly. All right. Let's give it up for John. Royalty has a short story titled "Love in Death."
Hi everyone. I want to read a very short story. I hope I don't bore you with my love story. I'm actually a satisfied lover girl. My name is Dr. Ada, and I have the most prettiest blue eyes you'd ever come across. My legs are long and glabrous, and I have a thin waist that complements my buttocks. I love to exaggerate. I'm a comprehensive package. I haven't been with a man in 4 years. I love to blame it on my job. I mean, it's safer to admit the strenuous nature of my job is the reason than disclosing my consistent act of jumping into conclusions. Can't let me find a man of my own. I have these characteristics of always overthinking, dissecting, and overanalyzing every little act around me. This has cost me lots of promising romantic relationships and even friendship. It's not my fault, you know. My brain just had a mind of its own. Well, I just stayed away from men. My job has been a worthy substitution. But between you and I own a very friendly vibrator. My life was going so well, much better 4 months ago when I started talking to Abdul. It's been over 4 months since we started talking. He claimed he got my number from one of the nurses I work with at our hospital. For some unknown reasons, I accommodated this particular man in my thoughts. We talked every single day, and I'm not even exaggerating. I knew every details, both personal and collective facts about Abdul, down to the reason why he hates cats and why he doesn't eat spicy food. It will surprise you that I've never met Abdul. In fact, I don't know what he looks like. But I enjoyed our little online relationship ever since. He was a worthy solid and confident. I couldn't wait to get my hands on my phone, hear his sexy deep baritone voice, and hear him call me baby girl. We've never had a fight over this time. While I hate to think it's because I haven't jumped into any conclusions with him, I love to think Abdul is just a sweet soul. We decided to see this weekend because he had a month official duty in my state. I was so eager, yearning, and thirsty to meet this man. I wanted to know what he looked like, what he felt like. I wanted to indulge in his fragrance and let him run his hands around my perfect sculpted back. He was pretty decisive and straight out about every single details concerning our first date. He asked me not to wear any heels because we're going to walk in the park after dinner. The day came and I wore a pretty flared dress. I left little cleavage details for his consumption. I let my hair down and glossed up my lips really nice. He got to our destination earlier and I came 30 minutes later. I called him when I got to the restaurant. Apparently, he saw me first because he said, "Turn right, I'm sitting at the flower ridge." Then I saw this gorgeous man wearing white. He had the most appealing smile on his face as he walked towards me. He stood up just in time to embrace me in a brief hug before he pulled out my chair. I'm glad I sat down on time because, boy, my legs were shaking from the intoxication of his bewitching and elegance before me. Abdul was a work of art. He was beauty. He was the prototype of everything sexy. He smelled like rose and fresh water. I was trying so much to pay attention to him talking, but my mind was so busy planning a wedding with this man in my thoughts. We had a lovely dinner over interesting conversations. He called me beautiful 76 times and laughed at all my humorous jokes. We spent 2 hours that felt like forever. I didn't need to doubt anymore that indeed good things come to those who wait. We drove in his car to the park, and we had a mini karaoke on our way. His voice was melodious, and I wanted to give him kids then and there. We walked hand in hand through the park. He kept staring at my lips while I chose our Ashobi in my thoughts. He told me about his job, his current projects, and so much more. I really didn't want this day to end. We sat at the lake. He took me pictures and I took some of him. Then he kissed me and called me beautiful for the 78th time. It was past 7 p.m. now while we walked to his car. He sang me Westlife, "I Lay My Love on You." He drove me home and walked me to my door, just like in the movies. He kissed me on my neck seductively and whispered in my ears, "I'll see you tomorrow, baby girl." While I got to my apartment, I got a text message from him. "You are the best thing that happened to me in a long time, Ada. I had a beautiful evening, baby girl. I'll call you when I get home." I smiled and let the feelings exhume me. That was the last message I got from Abdul. I struggled to go through the next 24 hours without getting my calls picked or messages replied or questions answered. I tried so hard not to cry. I buried myself in work, trying not to think or obsess about the precious moments with Abdul. I couldn't stop myself from calling or texting. I worked two shifts because I couldn't go home to the silence of memories. I tried so much. I tried not to conclude that I've been ghosted or that I've been discarded. I didn't want to call him a scum. I tried so hard. The next time I saw Abdul was 3 days later at the morgue in my hospital. Apparently, he was involved in an accident on his way home that night. I held his cold and lifeless hands as the mortician wrapped him. I sat on the floor beside the embalmer. I sat on the floor beside the embalmer as they cleaned him, and I cried so hard. I didn't hold back any pain. I wept. I felt the pain in the depth of my stomach. I didn't care about the mortician's in the morgue. I cried so hard because death took love from me. Thank you.
Sanusi. Sorry, one house, please. I know, I mean, it's evident you all enjoyed it. Great.
Okay, I'll say my favorite thing about this before I go on to other. My favorite thing about this is that it was refreshing to see this elaborate description of a woman falling over a man. You get it. So you see a lot where the men are writing and writing these flowery things about women. It was refreshing for us. Yeah, listening to that. So thank you for that. Yeah. Okay. So to the piece itself, I want to mention is that it's a good story. There is absolutely it's a good story, and there is a lot there, and you could. There's a lot to enhance and make them for a very good read. But I think a lot of the expressions and the flow and the structure of the piece needs to be refined. They need to be adjusted to the narration. So it could be the phrasing, it could be word choices, it could also be the rearrangement of the plot in a bit. So that way it comes off as a really tight and effective story.
That's interesting. Who else thought it was interesting that it was handwritten? I mean, I don't know if the audience could tell, but I thought that was really impressive, despite the short. Okay, this is hard to choose. The lady at the back. Yes, you, ma'am, with the headgear. Yes, yes. Yeah, you had your hand up first. Yes. Yes, you are. Do you know, I thought about you when she was reading. That's
quite, yeah. Stories that include that, because I feel like it's a topic a lot of people share with them. They have identities.
You guys, can I tell this story? Can I take 30 seconds to tell you people? Can I tell you guys, like, about the day this woman right here held me and a group of people spellbound for about 2 or 3 hours to, like, 3 in the morning, talking about her job as a mortician. It's quite fascinating, yeah. Actually, and the most humbling thing you'll hear. You should talk to her after for perspective. I think. Yes, sir. You.
So she's very good. So she's not saying that 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 she's not saying that
two girls.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, she starts thinking of those guys. Yeah. Don't do this. The guy was nuts. Then it's so I think it's not okay.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Finally.
Yeah, for me, I like the fact that, despite the fact that, the, like you said, to carry you, she still remained composed and she still went.
Yeah.
And secondly, apart from just listening to it, she actually also passed across the messages to her. Because one of the messages, like, for some people, no matter how try they, and no matter how they try in finding love, one way or the other, something always just happens and it doesn't always
change. Yeah. Okay, you finally.
Okay, so I love the tempo of the piece. Mm. What I love the most, what I enjoyed the most was the emotion. Kind of how she was close to tears at some point.
Yeah.
Trembling.
Trembling.
I started wondering.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely think it was written with a lot of passion, you could tell.
Yes.
But yeah, let's give it up for Royalty. Okay, Favor Ocheja has Half a Man, a Song.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Half a Man. So, I have this friend. He was so much in love. He gave his time, he gave his energy, he gave everything. But one thing was missing. He has this problem where he doesn't believe in himself. He doesn't believe in his ability to do anything. And we, his friends, we always tell him, "You're amazing, dude, come on." But he actually doesn't really love himself. And mixing that in a relationship, I feel, is really unfair, because whatever you do, it will not just be enough. And if it's not enough, you're not satisfied. And if you're not satisfied, you'd feel like the person that you're in a relationship with is not satisfied as well. Anyways, Half a Man is simply a warning. As you listen,
I was wrong to say I loved her. I was wrong to think I'm right. 'Cause when I told her it was over, my darling, I had lied. I've been running from my demons, scared to look behind. I've been running from myself, afraid of what I'd find. 'Cause how am I supposed to love you when I don't love who I am? And how am I to give you all of me when I'm only half a man? 'Cause I'm a sinking ship that's burning, let go of my head. And how am I to give you all of me when I'm only half a man? Now I'm sitting in this hotel room by a cold neon light, and I've been waiting for an answer. It won't come tonight. And every bottle I have stolen lays shattered on the floor. What's broken can't be whole anymore. Yeah, 'cause how am I supposed to love you when I don't love who I am? And how am I to give you all of me when I'm only half a man? 'Cause I'm a sinking ship that's burning, let go of my head. Now I'm out to give you all of me when I'm only half a man. Yeah, yes, there's no one can ever hurt me like I've hurt myself. 'Cause I'm made out of stone and I'm beyond hell. Don't give your heart to me. Oh, 'cause how am I supposed to love you when I don't love who I am? How am I to give you all of me when I'm only half a man? 'Cause I'm a sinking ship that's burning. Let go of my head. And how am I to give you all of me when I'm only half a man?
Thank you very much. Typically, we don't critique musical pieces, but I think the weight of those lyrics most compelling. It was amazing. All right. Thank you, Favor. We really appreciate, because God knows you should be paying for that. Okay. Next up, we have a spoken word piece by Ward Abba. It's titled KD's Top Model.
All right, so. Young skinny boy finally made it to the papers. Front page model to a magazine that no one reads. Nature's perfect skinny boy. Did nothing to lose weight but to be born at the time. Food was a taboo to be eaten more than once a day. Dark skin with brown eyes, fully baked boy under the sun. He never learned to catwalk, but knew that when the dogs came, the cats run. One foot in front of the other, in that order with speed. Never looked down, never looked back, because he knew. Learning the ways of the cat doesn't assure you 9 lives. And unlike this cat, your back can kiss the ground in an everlasting romance. Never looked down, never looked back. Pah! The camera clicked. He didn't get the pose he desired. It was his first photo shoot, never to have another. He has tested the runway. His body is now on the red carpet. Other photographers angry they didn't get the first shot. You see, we are natural born models. No one knows when his debut will be. See, someone is paying for these fashion shows and they heard that Kaduna has a lot of models. So for some, the short movies, cut, 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 the director yelled. Their models are not screaming enough. Cast the whole village for the play. Add some smoke effect. Make sure their mothers are watching. Because you see, fashion shows and movies are best enjoyed in silence, so our government can't say a word till everyone gets a shot in front of the camera. Thank you.
I feel like we took the piece for granted initially. Okay, any reactions to it? I'm sure like the folks at the back couldn't hear us because they were talking all through. So I mean, no surprise that no one's raising their hands there. All right, yeah, sure. Sorry, please, guys. This is extremely uncouth. You cannot go into a frenzy when someone says something you don't agree with. That's his opinion. You don't know how long he's been coming to ALS. No, but it's true though. All right, any other comments? Perhaps someone who thinks it's less impressive.
I don't know.
It was hard to hear through the noise, but...
Amazing delivery. Mm-hmm. Firstly, at first it sounded comical, but in the end, you got to the story. It's about probably the killing someone, Tricia, right? South Africa. Talking about the skinny guy, it sounded funny.
Yeah.
The truth is, like, this is the second piece of yours that I'm listening to, and I'm just wondering how your mind works, like, connecting such different, it's like things that I would never have thought to put together. I agree to you that it's the best piece I've not been coming for very long, but it's the best piece that I've listened to by far. Please keep doing it, Jody.
Okay. So, yeah. Sorry, please project a little more so we can hear you up here. Let's give it up for Ward Abbott. Okay, so Homer has an oratory titled Enigma.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Good evening. In the beginning, when I created the universe, the world was without form, as you have heard. But what you don't know is that as I was hovering above the waters, I was thinking to myself, what manner of wisdom will I use to fashion this creation into being? How can I address this pattern that is unfolding like a mandala? So I took this tapestry and I projected a form into being. As this form took a picture, I decided that it was time to return to myself. That was the being that was carrying the form that I now carry as I address you. So, in the beginning, as you've heard, the world was without form. When I say without form, what do I mean? I mean that the essence of love itself was hovering above the atmosphere. Now, an atmosphere I created with an imagination by projecting the thought pattern of love towards the universe. Darkness was watching this with alacrity, wondering, what is this being up to? Do I know him? Is he a her? What manner of thing is this? What is happening here? I paused, wondering, what is this separation that thinks itself different from my being? I am the entire essence of everything that is. How dare you decide what should be and what shouldn't? You question me? The being kept quiet, understanding that something was happening. There was a revolution, and the change began. Hey! What is happening here? What is happening? What is happening? Darkness was changing form. It was becoming something else. What am I turning into? I can't believe this. A pattern unfolding, another pattern unfolding, and a being came into being. And that is how I replicated myself into form. And now you're all here. Welcome, people. How are you? So, as I said in the beginning, the world was without form. But now the world is with form because you're all here. You see? You are the beauty of the universe. You are the perfect pattern that unfolded in a golden ratio, a golden circle. This circle is a circle of life. Some call it the egg. And then, of course, the famous question began, from where did the chicken come? From where did the chicken come? How will an egg become a being? Now, that is the process I'm about to reveal to you. Wait for my next section. Thank you.
Okay, well, way to build the suspense. Onyinye.
It's different, and I think it's generally more like accepted, or like I really like the way he like approached his other pieces. Like, it was a lot more poetic. This was like, I know he was narrating, I know he's coming from a different angle, like it's like he's telling like I can't say prose, because even the other one too was sort of prose, but it was poetic. Like, you felt like you were in this like meditative like state.
Yeah,
and,
experience.
Know, this is like boom. But I like, you know, that he's trying new things and, you know, sort of positive.
Yeah, I don't think anyone has the capacity to unpack that piece. But Sanusi, if you'd like to try, go on.
Sometimes he used to bring the printed versions of it so that we can follow. Just because with the extent of it. We advised him.
And we never followed, despite that. Yeah,
so, this was exciting. It was thrilling for me. I basically was still watching him enact the thing on stage here. So, you know, just having the conversational, method of portraying this thing. It was still very abstract, it was still very philosophical. Although some of the things he was saying seemed familiar, you could make some connections. But it was still nice, you know, to just watch him do that in a more, how would I say, palatable manner. So,
wonderful. Yeah, on you.
So, first of all, like, this is a new side of Oba, as you have said, but I just have to pick this because I love Oba. So, seeing you natural, the figurative for me, I feel like Oba can work on that. But since it's the first time he's doing something like this, I want to like comment, he should do something more. Because that one I was trying to piece, just for like, you know, Oba doesn't need to go. So, I like this side. When he was abstract, when he was talking as the dream, and when he was trying to switch to that conversation.
You're trying to unpack it now. Wait, so you were even able to...
Yes, yes. It flowed very well when you were trying to ask the switch. And actually, that didn't flow very well. When you were talking abstractly, you just been talking to the creature, and you're not like, you're not turning the piece to us. It didn't flow. By some connection, but it didn't flow very well. I was not like, okay, is there a way you could have just taken that transition? And then when you have talks to us, you're like, oh, it's actually about us.
Oh, yeah, you need to write that piece with between the both of you. Between the both of you, give us something we can understand. Alright. I'm sure. Let's give it up for Homer. Alright. 8TQ has a poetry piece that's entitled
Hello, good evening, everyone. Disclaimer, I'm a paid poet, so let's see if it translates better performed. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. A lot more.
A lot more. Can you hear me now? Clara?
All right. Do you sell salvation in potent pills? Can I buy your blessings with borrowed bills? Do my sins drip when I sweat? Diluting the baptism water. Perhaps this stanza is about salty sips of hidden leaf, unholy water in your sacred chalice. This ring around my head is no halo but a cloud of thoughts and deeds I dredge and dare not speak aloud. You place me on a pedestal in the silence of my fear of heights. Now you're screaming Messiah at the teeth of the edge. If I fell, would you blame it on gravity? Or even look to see that I slipped in the coattails of my humanity? Or would you cast stones on my open floors, screaming liar, sinner, crucified fraud? Your sticks and stones will break my bones, but your words will hurt my soul and soul. Your accusers, my guilt, unending echoes, unholy ghosts that haunt my nights. My wounds are not stigmata, but battle scars from wars are fought behind my face and above my throat. The devil and angel on my shoulders go. You mongrel my damnation, keeping tally of my sins from the scorchet that the devil uses. And when I stumble, you echo, God forbid not such a deed. You do not see that I climb the steep Calvary of redemption, walking barefoot on the slippery tightrope of salvation. Do my sins drip when I bleed and soak through this ashen garb? Perhaps the standards are but a sinner's blood and a sacred shroud, muffled pieces of an unwilling martyr. Thank you.
I think your reading was a tad fast to follow. I can, if I can speak for everyone. Yeah. But for those who paid attention, if you picked anything at all from the piece that you can comment on, be fine.
Yeah, so I enjoyed the imagery. That's what I thought about. I still feel this bit about Christ that I was talking about and images that he kept painting. And at some point, I said, doubting whether it's Christ, whether it's us. I enjoyed the image, just as some of them were swallowed up. So it was hard to do.
Yes, sir. Sorry, did you? Okay, yeah. Please project a little more so we can hear. Okay, you're welcome. To the performances. All right, thank you. Okay. Wow, you guys are really impressed with that comment. Okay. Yeah, okay, yeah, let's do that. I mean, but for the sake of folks who have to turn their heads, I think, all right. Hair is fine, okay. Okay. But, I mean, for just voice training purposes, you can just try to project your voice a little more. We don't have a mic. We would accept a generous donation of a microphone set and speakers. Ma'am, please. Thank you. Okay, so next up, I can assure you, you will not struggle to hear this next performer. Happy Prince has... Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, recently I wrote a poem for Africa, and it's me trying new things. It's titled, Come to the River, Learn from its Flow. Your mother's heart would know sanity if you would remember that an earthen water pot leaning on its broken wall needs its lead. I know anger and how it feels to know anger, to watch its hands molest you, feeling you like fuming poison. When the boy who murdered your mother raped your sister and decapitated your father stands powerless before you with a limp in his heart, searching your whole being with his eyes, searching for forgiveness, saying, I did this! I know.
was only 8 when they gave me a gun, took me to our home, and forced me to shoot Papa. And when the first blood spots rushed from his body, I knew that Nana would go too, that Nana would follow, and my brother, oh, that coward that refused to be a man. Forgive me. Forgive me.
Man, this got to me. But Commando had a gun to my head. Look, see the scars. It was fear that broke me, woke the anger that drove me to the hut that day. Forgive me, please, forgive me. And you know that this is what it would take for the nation to heal, to roll again its wheels and pursue progress. I know this feeling. We tamed it in Kigali. They say it's your turn tomorrow, that you would lead and they would follow. But the road is paved with pieces of broken destiny. It costs an art to navigate, to reach the gates of tomorrow. So you sit with anger in your belly and wait to learn the art from time. You raise your hand to reach and they climb a higher pitch. So you go, pulling anger like a bow, shooting arrows at the sky. And then you notice the stranger. His bad omen rots this. You burn down his life to light your pride. But it lights to you. Tomorrow is not a day. So wretched it is walled by a sunrise and a set. Tomorrow is a season of life. Today, tomorrow, and the day after are tomorrow. So when you built that app, the one that raised the pregnant poor woman from her hut, in the dead of the night to the local clinic, to the arms and smiles of doctors and midwives, for which she said to her child when it came, "Yes, yes, we can dream here, yes." That was tomorrow. When the sea had danced a mad dance before his bones, it was this he saw. See, we can go on talking, cursing, and pulling. We can wake governors general in their graves, lay imperialism on a balance, and tell how much of our progress perished with each pound. We can say to our brothers, "Hey, you brought us here," and mock our sisters for letting Queen Amina's courage leak from their hearts. We can say to the Maasai, "Keep your Adumu low, midget giants. How could you let them take our land?" And tell the Oba, "Your gods are useless. How could not they not protect the people? How could Ovonramwen lose this tool?" We can choose to forget Mandela and paint the past in apartheid. We can choose to be like the man who walks into a farm abandoned many seasons by his toil and seeing the mess wrought by weeds and pests, he asks, "Who did this? Who did this? Who did this? Is it you? 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 Who did this?" But he forgot. Today, tomorrow, the day after, like he forgot yesterday, the day before, and the day before, the day before yesterday, he forgot to ask himself, "Who did this?" For as long as the Nile stands with a brush before the canvas of our diversity, as long as the Congo maintains a double shunt across the equator, as long as the Niger holds the hand of the Benue, this land is ours. This land is ours. This land is ours. We must build it. But I hear the murmurs of your doubts. I have them too. But If Mandela had not walked free in Soweto, if Wole Soyinka had not won the prize, if Ellen Johnson Sirleaf had not led Liberia, if Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala had not resumed at center William Brappard, maybe I'll feed my faith to the whispers. But these voices speak in whispers too. Africa is possible. Come. Come to the river. Come to the well of Pan-Africanism, to the pride of Marcus Garvey. Come to the sacrifice of Lumumba. Come to the courage of Thomas Sankara. Come to the eloquence of Nkrumah. Come to the river, to the philosophy of Fela, to the music of Miriam Makeba. Come to the river, that the people can be the hand that raises their land. Come to the river. Learn.
So Orisun is a river. So oh, I see. Cool. Yes. Royalty.
I enjoy his performance all the time, and I love the way he grabs our attention and keeps us from the beginning to the very end. I feel someone that doesn't even understand English is still going to be thrilled by the performance because it just keeps you in the mood. So I really enjoy it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think the thing about him is that you don't forget. I still remember the last one, and I will probably remember the one after, so yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Finally, Fox, yeah, you and then.
The note that I said, I think I like the way he's supposed to steal our identity.
Yeah, I would say that his performances are one of the reasons I come to ALS. How he carries the audience along. And you know, one thing about performances is once you move, the audience tends to move with you to know actually your next step and all that. So I give it to him.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Nabila?
Yeah, aside from everything everyone has said, I think the story, the bit in the beginning about the child soldier and what it takes, I appreciate how you painted how difficult nation building is, especially in a time of war. I mean, it's different if there was no war, and then it's still difficult then. And it's truly a story for our country in particular, and I truly appreciate that. You did very well with that.
Thank you so much. Okay, Avalanche has a poetry piece titled You. I pity anyone who has to go after.
No competition. Hi, everyone. I'm Avalanche, and this is you. Who says you can't be the best in your art? Who says you can't be the next Basquiat? Who says the reverb of verbs is not from the pitch of your voice, that you're not the protagonist in a picture of words? You. Nobody else can try. You're your own worst enemy, and I'll tell you why. can and not are different words, but you combine them and cannot go beyond cannot. So you're slim and your chances thin, and your dreams are a ruptured spleen, cause you chose to see the skeletons in and ignore the God body within. But you are the sun, you are light, chasing away the dark like it's apartheid. A bright light that shines both day and night, mixed with a feast of Mike Tice on fight night. You are more than the 21st alphabet. You're an architect with a sound effect that hits harder than a shot from Lacazette. You are more, a leader of the new world, the new means and new ways to build love. You are a design from the Almighty and the budding branches of a baobab tree. Well, that line's a rhyme from an old poem of mine, but it's not about me, it's about you. Are the thesis piece of a million species. Maverick, it was you in the space of a billion entries. You are the synopsis to the word greatness. So look into the mirror and say to that image, you are unbelievably unbeatable, undeniable, and that is not an understatement. Even in a world unjust, undone, unkind, you are unscathed, no matter the clothes and shoes you put on. If you take you from the alphabet progression, you have T next to V, TV, television, a digital box where the world can see you and you can see I, even you can see you, are a unique piece of art. That's why him, her, them, and it can never take the place of you. Really, him, her, them, and it can never take the place of you in first, second, or third person point of view. First amongst equal, one amongst many. You're the hand that switches on the light at the end of the tunnel. So whenever you're feeling blue, type these words in a PC. Change begins with you.
Okay. All right. Yes.
Okay. So first of all, personally, I love rap music, you know, and I love rhymes and I love rhythm. Rhythm gets to me. And you know, this part where you played with the word on, and you got to the point and you just said, with the clothes you put on, I was just like, let us start playing with them. So generally, this is like second time I've listened to him, and every time he gets me with the way he has that rhythm, his pronunciations, whatever he's saying, you get to hear it and you're like,
he's a really smooth flow. Awesome. Any other comments on that? Yes. Yes, you, sir.
Yeah, like you said, it's very beautiful, and I enjoy rap music as well. And with your permission, I'm a musical artist, and I wouldn't mind if I take your work so that I can make it a musical masterpiece for everyone to listen to.
Yes, nice.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, we can't quite hear you. We can't quite hear you. Okay, let's give it up for Avalanche. Next up, we have a musing by Rodney titled The Skill of Art Appreciation. Hello, everyone. Hey, first of all, let's give CJ a round of applause. being a host up here is not easy, and he's doing a stellar job.
Am I right?
Yes, please. And speaking of hosts, I happen to host a podcast called The Young God. And it's a curation of ideas, stories, and conversations that illustrate what it's like to be the best version of yourself. And today, I released a bonus episode. It's off-season right now, but I released a bonus episode titled Donda is Better Than CLB. First of all, is it just me? It's not just me. Okay. And one of the things I explored in that episode is the idea that the art of appreciation, the art of art appreciation is sorely lacking today. So I'll start by saying, just as it takes great skill to make great art, it takes great skill to appreciate it. And at the core of that skill is empathy, which is sorely lacking in today's conversation. People only like what they like, and they fail to see the point of view of the artist. I'll give an example. We all know what it's like when we listen to our favorite musician for the first time. We like this album or that song, and then we subconsciously or consciously put them in a box. Now, when this artist starts to grow and move forward with their artistry and starts to explore, what do we do sometimes? We drop them, we call that project trash, we say they've fallen off. For example, Lil Wayne. When he dropped the Carter, a lot of us just got stuck in that Lollipop era. And everything he did since then, we always feel like he fell off. But this is an artist who has just been trying to experiment, to elevate, to transform his art into not just into rap, more than rap rather, but into a whole art of storytelling. And we missed it. And I think this same phenomenon is at work with Donda. Because what Kanye did is that he creates for himself first and foremost. He doesn't pander to an audience. And his genius lies therein that in creating for himself, he's able to pull in audiences from all walks of life. But CLB, Certified Lover Boy, which is a dope project by every stretch of the imagination, but you can tell, you get a sense that Drake made it for the fans first, the fans second, the fans third, and his haters last. Yeah, before he even thinks of himself in that way. And that's not to say it's a bad thing, but it's an interesting concept because you can now tell the difference between where each artist's mental state is. So where Donda is being marginalized is that we're still yet to catch up with where Kanye was going when creating this project. Deeply experimental, very personal, honoring a woman that meant the world to him, bringing in artists. In fact, Risk, just the risk of bringing in DaBaby and Marilyn Manson shows the pendulous balls this guy has when it comes to creating art. And I think each of us who are here in this room, we're very fortunate that we're in a place, we're in a space that is filled with art appreciators. People in one way or the other know how to appreciate art. But when we go out into the wider world, we should expect that people are largely illiterate when it comes to what art entails, the risk it takes, the emotional value that is supposed to resonate when you're judging a work of art, as opposed to just vibes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? So, my advice and my my advice is that as artists here, some of you have had years of experience, some are still budding. My advice is that you really take advantage of your right to experiment. Do not let your audience put you in a box. If they put you in a box, you will fail from that point. You will always, look at Michael Jackson. As great as he is, he fell into that trap. He made Thriller, it was incredible, and he spent the next few years of his career trying to hit that same height and find those same, experiences. And he failed.
He was still great, but he failed in that. And for that reason, even I, who's the biggest Michael Jackson fan ever, I can tell you from an unbiased point of view that he did fall off. Not because he tried to groove, but because he tried to stay in a spot. So what will you do, dear artist, dear creative? Will you pander? Will you squander? Or will you be like Donda? Thank you very much.
A lot for the artist to chew on. So, does anyone, I think we can move on from that, okay. We have a few more minutes to go because we need to give the gallery some minutes to close as well. So, the next piece is a story by Chukwumerijie. I don't know who did.
Hello, everybody. So, I'll just tell a story. Abraham insisted I must do something since I came to Abuja. So I'll just tell a story. It's called Fighting for Love or Childhood Love, anyone you choose. And it's kind of like a true life story. Nothing is as deep and as genuine as a child's love. It's pure. And there was something about our love then. It was innocent and tender. Not something you find on Tinder, it's something that finds you till it becomes you, till it engulfs you. And this was all new to me, you know. I just wanted to sit by her side in class, to hold her hands during lunch break, to share my Nasco biscuit with her, hoping that my actions would give expressions to words that were too deep for my mouth to utter. No blame me, she be Harry Potter. And there was something unique about our love then. It didn't have to be requited. Like, they didn't have to love us back. But we always had their back. My first love was an unrequited love. She broke my heart 1,000 times, and that was okay. Because her smile made it 1,000 more. She had this glitter in her eyes like they were made of red diamonds. With a skin so radiant, it made the sun jealous. And when she smiled, I swear, time stood still. To me, she was perfect. She was something of a half-caste because of all the girls in the class, she was the fairest of them all. She was my Snow White, my Cinderella, the beauty with no beast. In my head, I had built a castle where I wanted us to elope and get married and live forever after. But I ended up building castles in the air. She liked somebody else, the class prefect. And that was okay, because when you go to compete for arrows, it doesn't come with a warranty. And when you apply for love, the application form does not come with a disclaimer that says past performance does not guarantee future results. There is no, please be advised, this drug, love, is still in the experimental stage. Beware of broken heart. Parental guidance is advised. There is none of that. So when you shoot your shot, and instead of it melting the person's heart, it backfires and gives you heart attack instead. You just got to treat yourself. Because sometimes the heart does not always get what it wants. But to make myself feel better, I wish I really told her how I felt, you know? Conquer that fear. I wish I wrote her a letter or a poem, slipped it somewhere in society so she'd go home and find out. To tell her that she was my waking thought. That when I woke up in the morning and I ironed my knicker and sharpened the edges to the point of burning, that I did it in the hopes that she would notice me, even only for a second. That a second glance in her direction and my eyes meet her eyes will send my heart racing to the speed of a horse in a race that I'll forever race for the price of her heart if she would let me. Now, whenever I came to class and I looked around and she was not around, nothing else made sense. That she was a sense to my world, that my heart beat to the rhythm of her existence. Tell me, person writing this letter, you no go agree. Anyway, I didn't know any better. You remember I told you that she broke my heart 1,000 times and her smile will mean it 1,000 more? Let me tell you one of those instances where she broke my heart after what I did for her. As she stretched her hand inside my body, gripped at my heart, squeezed it, smashed it on the floor with her fine legs. And then she smiled and everything became okay. She was not smiling at me, oh. She was smiling at somebody else. But that was okay. What I did for her, I'll do it again if I have to. See, there is a difference. There's something called fighting for love and fighting because of love. There's a difference. When I say fighting, I don't mean when you turn to your significant other and you say to her, baby, we're in this together for better, for worse. Nothing will come between us. When we argue, it will go this far and not further. I swear, nothing will put us asunder. I mean it though. That one is fighting for love. You do it with flower, poetry, shime, shime, I love you, talk your own job, you know, that kind of thing. But when I say fighting because of love, it's that kind of thing you see on Instagram. That kind of thing. Because there's one reason for which I will draw a line on the sand and say, if you cross this line, I will make sure you smell your nyash. And I will mean it. It's when it comes to protecting those that I love. Ah, I will walk on a path laced with broken bottles if I have to. But the thing is, you have to be careful what you wish for. Because that was exactly what played out. Let me tell you what happened. Primary 4, I'm in class, chilling. That day, my school uniform was well ironed, cotton and well polished. Believe me, I was looking very solid. Then a group of our class girls entered the class. It appeared they had been assaulted by the boys in the other class. I was like, well, tough luck. Because the last thing I wanted to do was get involved, especially when it involved Otaka and his boys. Otaka was not just a bully. Otaka was the real-life boogeyman to me. He was that kind of guy you brag about knowing just to prove that you're a tough guy. This guy will take your lunch, and if you dare complain, he will knock you out with a punch just because he could. Me? I don't like Wahala. Because when they were sharing superpowers, I was not invited, so why should I invite myself? But the thing is that fate has a way of looking at you funny. Because that was just the exact time she entered. My queen. She entered and my heart froze. I looked at her skin, it was so pale, my heart began to fail me. My spirit broke in two. She had been beaten and that met me too. Ah! So I charged. Who was Otaka? If it was a mountain, who was it before Zerubbabel? He must be mellow. I will teach him how to mellow. See, sometimes love does not have sense. Because if it does, explain to me why a mother would jump into a burning building just to save her child, knowing fully well that she could be killed. It's like when they point a gun at the one your heart beats for, and you jump in front of the gun and say, kill me instead. My brother, you will die. That was the same scenario when an Alika like myself decided to ginger our class boys, who must fight for our dignity. These boys cannot have such and such impunity. Otaka or no Otaka will die for this matter. How can we go to our cousin Katakata? So, with our hearts lifted high and our heads held high, we marched like Ikenga warriors to the football field. You know what they say is true. That courage is not the absence of fear, but the will to move in spite of fear, to put your challenge by the ear and say, I am here. Mm-hmm. Is this inspirational, Ivy? It did not end in praise. I tried. I had gone there ready to lay my hands on Otaka, to forcefully remove the spirit of foolishness from his body. But I ended up being the one that fell under the anointing. Because the kind of slap I received is the type you say as the spirit leaves. It was loaded with so much anointing, it broke every yoke on the joints of my face. And I remember what happened. I remember the degrees that followed. You know, a teacher spotted us and made us kneel down where everybody could see us. And faith replayed again because that's when she began to pass by. My Cinderella. And I had some hope because I began to smile. You know, I waited for her to tell me, I understand, it's okay, I feel your pain, I know you did it for me. Instead, she pointed her five fingers at me and said, you, troublemaker, always looking for trouble. You broke my tender heart into shreds. I wanted to cry, but the tears would not come out. So I took the strokes with pride, knowing that these are the kind of sacrifices I will one day make for my bride. For love, it's not just in the kisses, it's in the pain, not just in the sunshine, but in the rain. For one must fight the thorns to sleep on a bed of roses. For this thing called love, no mountain is too great, no ocean is too deep, no road is too long, it cannot be journeyed. For the only distance in love is the distance between two hearts, and it cannot be measured in kilometers. Yes, though we may have built castles in the air, but the castles we build now are not even made of stones. They are made of tolerance, of patience, of love, of forgiveness, of compromise. And when I call you my Cinderella, it's me telling you that this love is forever. That this thing is not 50-50. I'll give you my 100% with no regrets. That I'll go back to that time when I fought for and because of love, but not with punches and bruises, but to love truly is to love, expecting nothing in return. Because nothing is as deep and as genuine as a child's love. It is pure. And there was something beautiful about our love that it didn't have to be requited. And they didn't have to love us back. But we always had their back. This is me saying, I want to love like a child. Thank you.
Hey. We're in a bit of a bind time-wise, so it's unlikely we'll be able to take any more performances. However, we do have about a minute or two for a song. It's called Beat Time by the Isomers.
Into the vortex, my toes get back in line.
to beat time, 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 to beat time, 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 time. Give me time, just a little time to be me, set the sands in my arm, that's true. I know one day I will die, it's a truth that I hide. Consider this, consider this, please. To beat time, 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 time. To beat time, 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 time. Give me time, just a little time to be me. Set the sands in my hourglass free. I know one day I will die. It's the truth that I hide. Consider this, consider it, please.
I was hoping we would beat our time, but we're about 1 or 2 minutes over now. So thank you all for coming. This is ALS. This event is our second one of the month, recurring every month in the same way. The next event is the book club, but we do not have a venue at the moment, do we? Where is it? At Sync Hub. Okay, awesome. Right. Okay, so the next book club will be holding at Sync Hub. The information will be disseminated in due time. The book of the month is The Concubine by Buchi Amadi. Sorry. And yeah, so that's pretty much it. Get a copy at any of the popular bookstores around you and join us at that event. So thank you so much for coming. Have a good night.